the ceremony. We observe this evening is called Sattva. As I explained last night, this ceremony actually started even before Buddha. And after Buddha, the ceremony more and more includes more positive elements. Just to observe, not only just to observe, to keep their life, human life, from evil spirits, observing some good and acquiring some strength and protecting themselves from the evil, but also to attain the perfection of human practice. Buddha started observe this ceremony. The form is nearly what must be. No one knows exactly, but must be nearly the same. But meaning change little by little. So if we study what kind of sattva Buddha's time Buddhists observe, then you will find that various elements. Last night I explained about it. Just as to see various kinds of flower in a basket. There's many kinds of flowers. Some of the flower is about the precepts about about human nature, Buddha nature, and some of them is to stop doing something bad. And some of them is about the lifestyle of Buddhists. Like the last one, don't eat after 12 o'clock. This is, it means it is the lifestyle of Buddhists at that time. And we are still we Buddhists, even though we eat three times a day, we have this kind of sleep. And when we chant, you will find out this kind of sleep. And tonight, I want to explain Mahayana precepts in comparison to the precepts they observed at Sati in early days of Buddhism. Here, this is the precept they observed in 6th day of the month, 8th, 40th, 50th, and 25th, 29th, and 30th, or sometimes, 30th, instead of 31st, they observed it, 30th, or 29th. One is don't kill. The first one is don't kill. This is old precept, which you can see the Agoma Sutra or Ksharan or Dai Vibhasharan in old scriptures. One is not to kill. Don't kill. Second, don't steal. Don't steal. This is not good. This was not given to me. Don't. Don't be involved in sexual activity. Don't tell a lie. Those are so-called buscokai. Something about Buddha nature. This is about Buddha nature. The explanation of those precepts is to don't be dualistic. It's in one word, don't be dualistic. Because you become dualistic, you kill something, you steal something, and you are deeply involved in sexual activity, and you tell a lie. And fifth one is about laziness. Laziness, easiness, practice. Like to drink or to take LSD. And lazy practice. And the last one is about the lifestyle, and six precepts six precepts is include various, not to use powder or perfume. Don't pray with geisha guy, you know. There are a lot of don't. Don't use so beautiful, you know, hair, what do you call, comb or hair pin. Ornament. And don't sleep in deep bed. That kind of thing. So those are, if you check the, you know, precepts, they observe, it is very interesting. Later, you know, the Buddhist precepts, more and more became positive. And they put emphasis on frame 1 to 4. Don't be divisive. Actually, you know, that is the purpose of Buddhism. If you just see the each precept, it is still very divisive, but in short, if your mind is calm and clear, you will not be involved in dualistic idea too much. And when you follow your Buddha nature, which is always clear, and then it is not possible for you to do something bad. If you follow Buddha nature, you cannot do anything bad. So more and more we started to put emphasis on a positive practice, to do something good. So rather than to attain enlightenment for us, rather than to practice for ourselves, we started to practice for others, to help us. And underlying thought is to help others is at the same time to help ourselves. Because if we are involved in, as long as we are involved in some good activity, it is not possible to do something bad at the same time. That is the secret of not to do something wrong, because you cannot do two things at one time. This is, you know, our belief. You say, I don't know which way to take, but if you take good way, at the same time you cannot take bad path. So if you only follow good way, good path, you cannot follow bad path. This is the secret of doing something right. And in Mahayana precepts, we include three refuges. I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dhamma, I take refuge in the Sangha. And this three refuges is actually a basic framework of Buddhist Buddha's teaching and Buddha's philosophy. If you understand the three refuges, you know, three triple treasure, you understand Buddhist, what is Buddhist. And you will understand what is Zen. It is so the meaning of the three refuges is so deep. So to be a Buddhist means to understand the three refuges and to accept the three refuges. Then you are completely Buddhist. So to explain about the three refuges is to explain whole Buddhism. Understanding of three refuges covers understanding of whole scriptures and koans and everything. It is so wide and so deep. In Zen Buddhism, tentatively explain by words what is the three refuges. And when you receive translation, you translate the true meaning of the three refuges. whether you receive the three refuges or not, the three refuges is nothing but the three treasures you have intrinsically. You have already three refuges within yourself. So it is again study of yourself. To study Buddhism is to study ourselves. The Buddha in the Triple Treasure is fundamental. The absolute first principle, or you may call it Buddha nature, or nothing, or voidness. That is Buddha in the three treasures. Buddha treasure. And how Buddha, you know, nothing yet. Manifests itself realization now, nothing happens by Dhamma, by the law of causality. Whole universe, maybe it is not so, but tentatively you can think the voidness is something like whole universe, which is no limit, and which has no head or no top or no head, no nose. Do you know? The top of the universe, which is top and which is bottom. It is even the earth, it is difficult to know which is top and which is bottom. If America is top, maybe Japan is bottom. but Japan is not always on the bottom, in the bottom. Sometimes Japan will be top and America will be bottom. It is, no one knows which is top and which is bottom. The sixth patriarch said, I have something which has no front or no back or no top or no bottom. That is actually emptiness, the absolute being, which includes everything, and yet which has no form or no color. That is true. And its realization now is, it is law of causality in short, but it can be all the teachings and precepts after Buddha realized the truth. It became Buddha wrote about it, and that was a scripture taught by Buddha. And who realized the voidness of it? Buddha. Was Buddha. Later. And Sangha in the original Triple Trivia is uniformity or a harmony of the voidness and the something, voidness and the truth. Truth covers everything. And where there's something, there's truth, and truth and love, causality and voidness itself doesn't differ. It is always in harmony, in complete harmony. So that is why we call it harmony, harmonious sangha. If after Buddha appeared, the people who followed his way was sangha, because they understand the law of causality, Buddha speak or Buddha speaking, and they could one become one with the teaching, Buddha speaking. So to people who follow the teaching was called sangha. But in original Triple Treasure, sangha is the harmony of the reality. Buddha, after Buddha passed away, we have Buddha instead of, you know, Gautama Buddha, Wooden Buddha, or Bronze Buddha. Even a stone can be a Buddha or Buddha. If there is some stone like Buddha, children think this is Buddha. So anything can be actually Buddha. Later. And written scripture book is Dhamma. Nowadays it is Dhamma. And priest, Sangha is someone like you, like me. That is a little treasure. So, this is just a brief explanation of the triple treasure. But you may understand. Understand this triple treasure and accept that triple treasure. You can be a great Zen master or a great teacher of Buddhism. If you just understand what is spiritual treasure, and this is one of the pieces you accept when you become Buddhist. Even Sunday school, I say to the refuge in the Buddha. I say to the refuge in the sun. I say to the refuge in the sun. Word is very simple, but meaning is very deep. And this is the precept we receive, first of all. The next three is the three collective pure precepts. The first pure precept is precept which is the source of all good deeds. That is the first. The next one is precept which includes all good deeds. And the third one is a precept which includes all sentient beings as a person. It is rather difficult for me to explain it in just 1 hour. But some other time I may explain about it. You must have already noticed that in each, you know, precept, in each group of that precept, the three precepts, there were some precepts which you cannot understand by your mind. by your thinking mind. The first one, Buddha, is by your thinking mind. The first one, Buddha, is something vital. It is beyond your thinking mind. And the source of the, all the good, all the precepts, next time, is also something you cannot have any approach to. And if you realize by yourself what it is, not by listening to someone talk, not by reading, but by yourself, through your practice, and that is why we practice Dzogchen. Dzogchen practice is so, Dzogchen practice is so far all the people. So if you practice Dzogchen, it means that you stop the source of all the people. So to have good practice means to have good precept observation. Why it is so? That I am not explaining. It is something you should know by your through your practice. It is pretty warm, isn't it? Yeah. I'm just telling you the framework of the Mahayana system. If you read Buddhist texts, I think little by little you will understand what I mean. But you will not have time to know the whole picture framework of Buddhism. Like you see a map of the world. You will make a trip. Anyway, you enjoy your trip and enjoy the mountains you see and the ocean you cross. But if you are always making trips, by even by airplane, it is difficult to have whole picture of the world. That is why I'm giving you a kind of other. With which you can enjoy your trip. This must include space trip too. ASD trip too. Very good trip. and there is this other thing. There is not. The best map so far we have is Dorian Zenji, Genjo Koan. He explains every corner of the universe. It is repeated over and over again. You will not be discouraged in your whatever experience you have in your everyday life. Everything you experience in your everyday life makes sense according to his principle. If you want to know what I'm saying right now, you can do it in your course. And this is this kind of study is included in a preset study. This kind of preset on this side is very different from the prohibitory preset. This is Mahayana, so-called Mahayana preset, in comparison to Theravada preset. What's that? Last one, last group of teachers is the 10 prohibitory teachers. That is also explained by Mahayana teachers, especially by Dorje Kali. Explanation of the teachers. How we understand prohibitory teachers from the light of Buddha nature we have. So it is this kind of understanding of precepts is started by Bodhidharma's chief kind of teacher. Again, so how you observe this to try to be non-dualistic and try to extend our pure practice to everyday life. That is how we keep that is the way to keep our people. Okay? That is re-explaining of the people. Would you give me some petition? I started to train last night. Oh. I think you know much better than that. How about women this? They are struggling very hard. Ask them. Ask them. You know, don't say you are woman. Don't say you are a man. It is easy to say that when you fight. The best way to win, you are woman. Shut up. You are man. You are supposed to be strong and supposed to help me. You are a man and I am a woman. That's it. How? Yes. All right. If you say we are human, this is different. That's why. So let's think. Then there's no problem. Women think they have some privilege. And at the same time, men think they have some privilege. Because, just only because he is a woman or he is a man. That is not direct understanding, but that is just idea. Idea of man and idea of woman. In short, that is delusion. There is no such person as this woman or man. From Chinese scholar said, white horse is not horse. White horse is not horse. White horse, you say, but is not horse. Horse is some idea. White horse is the horse, which is like you. You say, horse, you say, that horse can be red horse, black horse, and white horse. That is the horse we have in our mind. So if there is a white horse, it is quite different horse from the horse we have in our mind. The pony is not human. According to Chinese thought. I'm not a man. A man is can be, you know, bigger, faster. That toy can be a woman. Me can be a man. Creating problems. Man which is not actual man. Man which is in just in our mind without knowing exactly what it is. We think we know, but not quite. So you do the complete cause of the confusion. You don't have any reason to be involved in dualistic mind. Dualistic mind. So in this way we must have general brain clean, brain wash. That it is up to the, if your understanding is right, and that is something which really exists. But most of the time we are, you know, addicted, which is not real. That is sexuality in its bad sense.
So why don't we look at the high and not the low?
Hmm?
Why
don't we prohibit that? We don't prohibit it. But we not we don't prohibit, but we should know what it is. As much as possible. As much as possible. Okay? Some other questions? If we try to prohibit it, then again, someone who prohibits it involved in sexuality. So we must be very careful when we read by the sexuality. That is why we have commentary to it. self nature is pure and clear. The Dhamma of non-attachment. Do not have attachment. Do not cling to anything. It's called not to be sexual. Do you understand? Self nature is pure and clear. In Dhamma world, there is nothing to attach to. Without do not arise. Let it arise. Clinging mind is the precept of not to be addicted or not to be sexual. When I was making trees, not trees, but takahatsu, I did 40 days takahatsu. And I came across with a gentleman. I was around, and he's around. And so we talked for a long, long time in a small bar. He asked me whether he had some experience of geisha kai. Geisha kai means to say someone else, to enjoy geisha kai, geisha kai, or prostitution. He asked me. So I said, no, I haven't. He said, then you are not qualified teacher. You are not qualified teacher. Why don't you stay with me tonight? I'll take you some good place. Why don't you follow me? I said, you want me to study something? But I don't think I can study. To study to be a good monk. If it is the purpose of going to geisha kai, to study of Buddhism, it is not geisha kai attorney. Enjoyment. I cannot enjoy it if that is for further Buddhism. And he said, oh, that's right. It is not, that is not my way of going. Your way of going is different. So maybe better for you not to come with me, he said. There's some difference. Looks like so. Not exactly. I'm just same and different is see. He is different. One is, to study how not crazy things. And other is how to enjoy clinging to this about. This is different. Study of non-attachment. And to enjoy attachment. This is different. You don't have to study about the truth. You naturally use the language. It's okay. Instead, you should practice Zazen. That is much better. Okay? I don't encourage you to study something like that. Hi. Don't struggle so hard. Don't struggle so hard. Treat just. Don't be so serious. Just let it come, let it go. If there's something to eat, eat it anyway. don't eat. In the evening, you may eat a lot. You may enjoy your food. And if you cannot eat evening time, don't eat it. Next morning, you enjoy your breakfast. So there is not much thing to think about. That is, you know, when you sit seven, the best policy is let it come and let it go. To do so, you have a kind of strength, not like this, but deep mind. I don't know, but so better not to be so serious. It will be take care of anyway by Buddha.
Great
practitioner. Physically, first of all, you will suffer. Yeah, that is obvious. Yeah. That is direct result. And if you do so, why you feel bad is you will lose your rhythm of life. You know. That is, this is, you know, difficult thing to accept. Maybe especially like you, if you lose your rhythm of life. So that is why we have the precept, don't eat after noon, afternoon time. It is a kind of rhythm of life. The old Indian people had. That is, the rhythm of life is very important. Why you don't feel so good if you do not come to Zazen? Because you lose your way of life. That is very and why you come back to the more monastic life again, the monastic way of life again, you miss the rhythm of life you have.
What about complaining? You said you adapt to their way of life and the way that involves the heavily in an outside world is very much involved in
For layman, yeah, layman, God's precepts. Maybe still they have usually layman, of God, priest, priest of God, a monk, and that will give them some relief, even though just once in a while, they observe, if they come to monastery and spend several days having the same food and practicing dragon, that will be a great help, even though their usual everyday life is not so tight. Mostly, layman likes much better than we priests or monks like. I don't know why, but it does not mean layman's practice is better than monk's practice. But anyway, they feel very good, much better than monk's practice. Yes, but the precept is not set up in that way. That is precept, why precept is good. If it is something like sake, you will be easily bound by. But it is no one is bound by, will be bound by precept. It is difficult to be bound by precepts. The more you observe precepts, the more you have freedom from it. Precepts is not something which you can stick to. Ceremony is same thing. It is very difficult to stick to it in the same way as you stick to something worthy. In the same way you stick to something to you stick is some experience. In China and also in India and in Japan, Buddhists call it precepts, but layman, like Confucius, call it Lei. Lei is they set up some behavior. How how we should behave. Those kind of behavior is set up so that we will not go to the extreme. That is the main point of behavior to your middle way. It is different from Buddhist understanding of little bit different from our understanding of middle way, but they also put emphasis on middle way or their behavior. So it is not possible to be dualistic as long as you are observing some precepts, some rule of behavior. And this is maybe, I don't know, a Christian commandment, so there. But say in India or in Japan, we have this kind of cultural background. I think if you have time, you can study about those things. And in comparison to your, Western